Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Make your own video game augmented reality on the iPad.
And it's time to wake up with The Rock.
Also, is Apple Music deleting your music or not? Leo's going to explain.
On iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet for your free trial. Visit texture.com/iOS. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/iOS today. And by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 1,400 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And for you, the first 2 months are completely free when you sign up at CuriosityStream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT. Today is on the air.
On the airwaves.
Hey, everybody, I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney.
And this is the show where we talk about all the stuff that has iOS on it, which is basically everything Apple makes but a Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apple Watch, Apple TV, Apple Phone, Apple Tablet, all of that stuff.
All that stuff, yes.
Commonly known as the iPhone and the iTablet.
And
what is it called? The iPad.
The iTablet.
iTablet.
This thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of this iTablet that we know and love,
yes.
I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, could you just cover some new iPad apps? I just want to see some iPad apps.
This did used to be iPad
it did.
Today.
Yeah.
I think we still are a little bit slant towards the iPad, to be honest with you.
You do? Well, yeah. We show things on the iPad, but I don't know. I mean, I like to... I'm a watcher, but I'm not.
To watch.
I am not going to, for example, show off the Facebook app that I have on my Apple Watch. Because why would you want Facebook on your Apple Watch?
Dopey,
and it doesn't
it?
Work. It's not from Facebook. It's called Little Book.
Oh,
it's $3. I don't recommend it. It still has like Facebook from 3 days ago.
You
on
didn't
there.
Say it right. It's Little Book.
Little Book. It is a very tiny book.
Little
so
tiny
we're not going to talk about that.
Okay. No, not
just
at
the
all.
iPad.
Whatever we do, we won't mention. Little book.
So, my favorite new app for the iPad is called Infinite Arcade, and I am really excited to show it to you. It's from TinyBop. We've shown a lot of TinyBop apps. They have, like, simple machine apps, robot apps. This is making your own arcade game, and it's awesome. I mean, it is ostensibly for kids, but you want to make your own arcade app, don't you?
I'm dying to make my own arcade
Well, here
app.
It is.
I mean, does it really let you do that?
It does. It really does. So,
TinyBop, that's you.
That's me. Here are all the arcade games that I've made already. Let's start with this one that I made. We'll play it. So it's a pinball game, but instead of a pinball, I used a tomato.
Boing!
And then I've added an alligator there.
Oh, I think kids would love this, actually, yeah.
I don't know why I'm showing you what I already made. We should actually make one.
Okay, let's see how easy that is to do.
Okay, so what kind of game do you want to make? Do you want to make a pinball game, a breakout game? Maybe this
a jumpy,
is
a side-scroller, a maze game. Oh, this
game.
Is cool.
Yeah.
Let's do a breakout game. What is that, a tooth? Let's do a dental game.
That's not a tooth. That's a little monster.
Okay.
You want to try the breakout
game?
Yeah,
I like breakout.
Okay. So here
person.
It is. Here are my little slider. It's very like, you know, Minecraft-ish. You're creating things by pieces. So I can create the back. I can create these, add these little box-type things.
Those
are bouncer things.
Oh, okay. So this is almost like a pinball game that you
can
make
like
here.
All of your tools are here. So you could mix it up and, you know, add spiders.
No. Are they
spiders.
Disabled? Yeah.
Add diamonds. Ooh.
Ooh.
Now there's...
What's that?
I don't know what that is.
That's a sucker. That's a ball sucker. It gets
a
in there
sucker?
And then it comes back out or
ladders,
something.
Ladders, magnets.
Oh, neat.
The whole deal.
This is fun.
I could add pinballs to my game. I could change the background. I like this pink
that
background.
That is really...
let me find out where the little... What do you call those in breakout, these things? The the tiles? Is that what they were called back in the day?
Blocks.
Blocks?
I think.
There they are. So I'm going to add some of these. Add some red ones. And then...
This is fun.
Yeah.
Let's, I like this. I like seeing games where kids are invited to be creative and use their imagination in addition to play.
Right. So, So now we're playing.
Wow. Did you tell the ball to sound like that?
I could tell the ball to sound. You can change this even. Super bummer,
super
you lost.
Super bummer, you lost.
Like, where's that? Oh, here's where you can change what they say. Yeah, hear the sounds.
Ooga, ooga. Wow.
Oh, I don't like that sound. This, I believe, is $3.99. It might be $4.99. But
pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of?
Infinite Arcade.
Actually, is a game that Steve Gibson told us about. If you like games that somebody else designed, but that let you get creative and start using your brain, you might like this one. This is called The Sequence. And Steve showed it to us. This is what's interesting is this is designed in Unity. In fact, they just won the Unity competition. Unity is a multi-platform gaming design tool. And so this was written, and it works on everything. Android, iOS. I think you even have a Windows Phone version. It's a game that Steve likes it because he's kind of a programmer, okay? So, oh, look. Oh, no. I started the game. There's an initialization error. Stop, Siri. I'm not talking to you. There's an initialization error. Main sequence. Please fix the arrows and logical nodes. Oh, dear. Maybe this is. Maybe I can't show this game. There seems to be something wrong with it. Let's select a node and see what's wrong. Now, as many of these games, it starts off with a tutorial. Okay, build a sequence using available modules to move the binary cell. This is actually harder to explain than it is to play from generator to collector. So I'm going to move this to there. I have one tool, and it's this. So this tool can do one of two things. It can pull or push. Now I'm going to have it be a pusher tool, put it right there. I'm going to go into sequence mode. Let's see. So in effect, I've written a little program, and I'm going to run the program, and that's all it does. Okay, it's a simple program, and of course, it's going to get much more complicated, but the pusher tool pushed that dot into that. And so the whole game, and you can see there's going to be a lot of levels here, is going to be about solving the issue, the problem of getting moving these little things around and eventually getting them home. So I'm getting two of these, and now I can also change what it does. So I can reverse its polarity so it pulls instead of pushes. I'll do that with this one. This is still the tutorial, obviously. And I'm going to say this is sequence two. Okay, and you can change the sequence if you want. But let's rotate that, though. And now let's see if this program that I wrote works. It pulls the ball there, and it pushes the ball there. It worked. Now, one of the reasons Steve likes this, Steve likes games that don't make you nervous or tense.
Oh, I also like games that don't make me nervous and
some
tense.
People like the games like Temple Run where, you know, you're running and it's action and stuff
like
that. I bet you Milo and Huck like that kind of stuff.
They like them.
Yeah. But Steve's more thoughtful. He wants to solve puzzles. So this is, and by the way, this is a lot like programming because you have certain tools that do certain things. Steve's an assembly language programmer, and this kind of reminds me of assembly language programming. So you can use, you get as you solve problems, you get hint points, and that's going to be the hint. So you get an idea of what to do. Again, this is going to, these are getting in the way now, so I have to use this doohickey to, what am I going to do? Push it up or push it down. I get three of those doohickeys. I guess I'll do this. And I'll change the polarity so it'll be a pusher. So that's going to push. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not where I want to go up here. Let's do that again. Rotate polarity pusher. See, I have time to think about it. And then I'm going to do this and I'm going to rotate this. And I'm going to, so that's going to push it up. That's going to push it over. And then, then I need a puller. Okay, this will be good. And this will be the third item in the sequence. And I'm going to rotate the polarity, and that's going to pull it up. I think this will do it. Let's sequence it and see. So we've written a program, believe it or not. And I'm going to run the program, see if it does what I expected it to do. Oh, no, collision. It's not good. Did I mess up here? Is this going to pull? What did I do wrong? That looked like the right thing to do. Let's try it again. I'm not sure I understand. Hey, you wake up. Anyway.
I love these kinds of games because similar to Endless Arcade, it's like you keep having to keep trying until you make it work. And that, I mean, if you're trying to teach kids anything, that's what you want to teach them. Keep
process.
You know, that's grit.
This is actually literally the kind of it's basically a von Neumann machine. It's a programming
machine.
It's a von Neumann machine. So I earned a hint point. So now we're kind of on our own. The tutorial has ended. Oh, that's going back again. Now there's also let's exit to main menu because I pushed the wrong button. Here, I want to play this one. So you can go back and revisit once. They, of course, get much, much harder. And I probably don't want to embarrass myself by showing you how hard they get. Because they do. They get hard. But and there are many other devices and tools and stuff. So this is 99 cents. It's a fun game because, you know what, I can now stop playing it. And not use it. It is iPhone and iPad. That was the iPad version. Works fine on an iPhone. You don't need a whole lot of space to play it. And there are at least 200 levels. There are quite a few levels on this. And I suspect there will be more. But it's not an in-app purchase game. It's just 99 cents out of the box. And it's called The Sequence.
I love it.
Sequence.
So another big use for the iPad is writing. I just use Google Docs. I'm not a crazy
I know you sent me that and I thought... You poor thing.
But, you know, it's like people say, well, use Text Expander, use this, use that. But, I mean, I guess I don't do a ton of writing. I mean, I do write, like, scripts for the show and ideas, but I guess I just...
You used to write all the time. You were a writer. You did tech writing.
So, but what do you use to write?
I'll show you a couple of things. One of I've shown you before, and one Andy Iannocco turned me on to. So, once I got a nice keyboard for my new iPad Pro, I thought, you know, I really could write with this. In fact, in some ways... It's a good writing environment because it can be clean. There's no menus and windows and stuff. So I've shown you already editorial, which I think is quite good. And this is a CPG Gray recommendation. He uses it to write his YouTube videos. And so it has a script writing mode, which is awesome. It writes in three different formats. Markup, which is a kind of a traditional traditional way to create... In a text editor, slightly formatted text, but it also supports Task Paper, which is designed for to-do lists, and Fountain, which is a markup for screenwriting. It makes it very easy to write scripts. And the idea is you're writing in really a pure text mode, but you're going to be able to format this in that text mode. I use this to kind of come up with ideas for... stories that I'm going to write. I showed this before. It's really a simple editor, but very powerful. This is written in, Welcome. This is written in Markdown. So Markdown allows you to do some formatting. And you do have some settings that you can change. It saves locally, which is unusual. That's really kind of rare on the iPad that you could save it locally. But it also supports Dropbox. For saving, and I would bet it supports iCloud too. But you know what? I don't. That's a good question. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Which
you have
one
a dark
is this?
Theme. This is editorial.
Editorial.
It supports gestures for showing of lists in the task manager and things like that. There are templates. There are quite a few templates. This is a very nice editor. It's not cheap. I think it's $10. It's not cheap, but. I think for somebody who wants to do, real serious writing, especially screenwriting, this is great. You can create a template if there's a certain kind of document that you write all the time. You might want to, for instance, create an iOS Today template that you would then fill in the script for. So that's one. And this is the other one that Andy told me about called Ulysses. And actually, let me go to the website because Ulysses is for Mac, iPhone, and iPad. So this is the advantage of it is, unlike editorial, you can use it on all three platforms, right wherever you are when you want to. They call it the ultimate app for anybody who writes. Similar to editorial in the sense that it's a very clean interface. It's really focused on writing. It's pretty powerful. It's not something I would use. It's also expensive. I think it's is it $10?
Like $20.
$20, I think it is. Yeah, it's very expensive. But and especially because you have to buy a version for each platform. This one does save to iCloud. I wish they had demos. You know, I really do, because this is the kind of thing that I think would be very nice to try, and all of these would be, but they're so expensive, and there really is no way to try before you buy. So I should give you enough of a demo that you get a sense of it, but I don't know really how to do that unless I start writing something, right? It's got a little bit of a different UI. It's kind of sheet-based, so you can have a much more complex documents in here. These are parts of a larger document, kind of chapter-based. Some writers like to work that way, kind of more outline-y. Andy Anako uses it. It's from the Soul Men. And, it's probably, if somebody has a more complex, if you're writing a novel, for instance...
Or your unauthorized biography, which I plan to write.
I think that's a great idea. Of me or you?
My unauthorized...
I guess you couldn't write an unauthorized autobiography.
I couldn't, no.
The left side of my brain does not approve of what the right side of my brain is up to.
No, you're unauthorized. But I'll try this free app for your unauthorized biography.
You have one for free?
Yeah, it's called Creative Writer. And it, I guess I feel like it should also be called... a non-creative writer, because it adds the words for you. Can even get text from great novels as you're writing your own, which seems like plagiarism to me. But
yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful. Don't cut and paste.
No, the unauthorized. So I can biography of the greatest. You are the greatest. It's just gonna fill in some words for me, man. Whoever.
Are you bucking for a raise?
Is that an option?
It could be if you keep this up.
So you could, whoever shunned, so I can just choose the words shunned me. Maybe if you have some writer's block, this would be good, because it could, and they're in-app purchases, which would let you like add paragraphs from great work. So this is creative.
That's kind of weird.
Isn't it?
Stuff from the great works.
Yes. Creative writer. Let's see. Yeah. So, or you could add from your other documents.
As long as we're talking free, I do have something that's been around for a long time. Reverend Dan in our chat room reminds me of Celtx, C-E-L-T-X, which is a screenwriting program that's been around for a long time. You can have a paid account, but the app itself is free. I'm not going to create an account on this. But the app itself is free. And what's I think kind of interesting about Celtx is they have actually four apps that work together. So there's Celtx, which is a script writing plain text program. And then you can go shot by shot. So if you're actually a filmmaker, you can use these as effectively a pre-visualization storyboards. And this lets you do that. That's, I think, really interesting. And then a lot of times writers in TV and movies will use kind of a board with cards on it. And this is the card interface. So that's a way to kind of organize ideas and bits and stuff. I don't know what Reports does. I guess you can generate, based on the script, you can then generate location, reports, call lists, and that kind of thing. So this becomes all together a pretty powerful workflow for screenwriters, Celtx, and the apps are free, but of course you're going to create a non-free account on the website if you use this pretty seriously. On the other hand, if you're making $1 million per script, hey, have at it. So thank you, Reverend Dan, for reminding me about Celtx, because that's kind of a classic and used by, I think, probably a lot of scriptwriters. And now that they have an iPad app, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. What else? Do you have another free? That one's free-ish. it's free if you just for the basic stuff.
Well, the other free writing app I found was called TextNut.
TextNut?
TextNut.
Because I'm a nut for text.
So, yeah. And to me, this didn't... I guess this is good for if you want to do HTML and stuff, you know, so, like, much more. And then you could just add the link and the link title. So... and the link reference. So this is more, like, if I don't do that anymore, but if you were going to create content, if you're a blogger or writer, I think, this is...
Does that link to another page on the document?
If I want to link that,
It links to a website.
Like, yeah, you would add the link in there. Like, if I wanted to.
Because that reminds me of wikis. And right. Wikis are another great way to create, where you can link to text. I think everybody who writes has probably their own fairly idiosyncratic way that they like to do it, I would guess. It's like baseball batters, you know?
That's true.
Each baseball batter, they, you know, has their own thing. They do their ritual before they come to the plate. And I would guess writers are kind of like that, too, that there's a certain ritualistic way they like to create. Some people want a physical typewriter. Neal Stephenson writes in pen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if you want to try to use an iPad, I think this is going to be a very personal choice.
That's a good point.
But there are a lot of tools out there. And I just wish there were some way you could try before you buy.
Yeah, on the iPad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I like to do on the iPad, storybooks and real, you know,
love
graphic.
That. Love
so
that.
Here's one called Floon. It's either or Flown.
I like Floon.
It is F-L-E-W-N. So
Floon. Yeah. And I thought F-L-O-O-N.
No, okay. Floon. Okay, so.
My flight has flown.
There we go. Okay, so it starts in portrait mode. Oh. So you can either, let's do the story mode as opposed to the game mode.
And is this for creation?
This is just a storybook. This is just
to read to you.
Yeah, or just to watch.
Oh.
I guess like a storybook is
so it's a game-ish.
It's a game you can either play or watch.
It's a graphic novel.
A story.
Oh, look at that.
This was this.
It's too bad you have to do it sideways.
Why? Well, you do, and then, there we go.
I like that. This is cool. Floon. And there's an octopus and a fish. Beautiful art.
And the music is nice too, isn't it?
Oh, it's like Yellow Submarine.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting.
So, do you know what that is?
That's a brush, scrub brush.
Oh, well, you'll find out what it is in a second.
That's not what I think it is?
It's not what you think it is.
It's not a walrus's mustache?
Oh,
it's a net. Oh, no. They're capturing little. This does remind me a little of Yellow Submarine, and it's kind of a.
Okay. Old Whale's world has been turned
all around. What once was sky had been drained through the ground. He grew weary. Oh, this is good. I like this.
World had been turned.
Is this, would you say, for children?
Depressed children, yes.
Kind of emo kids.
I think my kids liked
he
it,
grew
but they're
weary,
you know, they're not
on
little.
His three driftwood stilts, as he made his way through the dry desert silts, and now we're in there. I don't think it's listening to you anymore.
It's done. That's not it, though.
So you have to keep doing that, or is it doing
there
itself?
We go.
There it is.
So, I don't want to give away the spoiler of the end or anything, but this...
How long is it?
I didn't get to the end, so...
It's forever. It goes forever.
It goes forever. As long, as old as that old whale's
whale
beard.
On the stilts. That is bizarre.
It's weird.
But what I like, it's kind of creative. It's an art. It's art, isn't
it? I liked it for the iPad because it's just like, you wouldn't want to watch this on your iPhone.
Apparently it's online on a website. Again, Reverend Dan, what will we do without you? At floonstory.com. Mm. So you don't have to get it on the
there's
iPad.
Also, you can play the game with the frog, too.
Okay.
And that might be better for those who get bored easily.
That's a very, I don't know, did Bjork create it?
It kind of feels a little Bjorky, doesn't
it? It's like,
it?
What the?
No, iBookery in the chat room asks if it's also on the Apple Watch, but no, not
it's a story about an old whale in search of a lost ocean. And the website's not more explicatory. It does the same thing. Oh, here's a trailer. Now out for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. No Apple Watch, though. Hey, press kit. Maybe they can... Let's go to the press kit. Maybe they can explain themselves. Floon immerses you...
I feel like that would ruin it.
Oh, then don't read this.
Just kidding.
Floon immerses you in the surreal journey of an old whale walking on stilts. I think we know that.
Sometimes I feel that way, don't you? We all feel
like
old whales walking on stilts.
Gabriel Smetzer... is the director, artist, programmer of Floon, and says, the idea of an old whale on stilts embodies a feeling of empathetic depth I find compelling. I really wanted to take the time to give the whale the dignity of a well-crafted story for everyone to enjoy.
It's a story.
It's a story.
That's it. About an old whale.
On stilts.
In search of a lost ocean.
Why is he on stilts? He felt he was short, I guess. I don't know. I don't think a whale on stilts is... That's an unusual... I think the guy's tripping.
I think he's tripping. I got something else. Do you want me to show you the last
please.
Thing?
I don't think I could top Floon.
I didn't think you could.
And it should be Floon.
Have you seen these Color Alive books from Crayola?
Is this adult coloring book?
This is, no, this is a child's coloring book.
Oh, thank
book.
God. I'm so over adult coloring
but
books.
But it's augmented reality.
What?
I know. So I colored
this.
So
here's a dragon. You did a nice job coloring
it. Thank you.
That,
I'm pretty good at coloring. And let's find the
Color
Alive.
Probably practicing with those adult coloring books.
I do actually practice with the adult coloring books.
Like, did you do that as an experiment, or actually this is something you go home and you at night of a night you will color?
No, I saw this and I thought that's cool, and then I just happened to be at Michael's. I was like, I'm going to buy this for.
No, I'm asking about adult coloring.
Adult
books.
Coloring, but they're relaxing.
You find that relaxing?
Yeah,
it's like knitting or.
Yeah.
But at the end, instead of a nice hat. You have a page in a coloring book.
Or you've relaxed.
You can frame it. And you are relaxed.
Yeah. Okay. So this...
How is this going to work?
I know. Well, we
augmented
we have the,
reality.
I know. I'm wondering,
so
too.
So you drew a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got the Color Alive Crayola app.
Yes.
And you're going to play.
So I scroll through to find my coloring book.
Uh-huh. And
which
your
is Mythical
and your
Creatures. Because
right?
I thought it was, you know...
Does that have to be your page? Oh, no.
Yeah, it does.
What's going on? Is it going to come alive? Should I worry? Oh, see, there's like a QR code there or something.
Ready?
Something's coming alive.
No, I press 4D.
What the? Oh, no. Stand back. Oh, my God. You're the mother of dragons.
I am the mother of dragons, so.
Daenerys Stormborn.
There, and I can flip it around.
Well, that is, you know what? A kid would love that. It's pretty magical.
Uh-oh, did I lose it?
Until they put their thumb in front of it.
Yeah, I know. Let's try that again. Okay, now here we go.
Name your friend.
Obviously, Leo.
Yeah. Leo the magic dragon flew across the sea.
And then I can, there's where the, I can have her sit on my shoulder.
Oh my goodness. Wait a minute, this is pretty wild. And is that the colors you chose?
Yeah, that's the color, that's my coloring book. Here, look, you see.
Yeah, it's the same colors that... So you could, whatever color you made her.
Have I redeemed myself
that is
from,
mine?
The,
yes.
from the whale on stilts?
No, they're both great. I'm not complaining about the whale on stilts. This is, so they have many different ones.
Yes, and you don't have to actually buy the coloring book. You could, I could take a picture.
You know what I like about this is you, it's not just Mac, it's iOS, it's Android and Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is really great.
You can also get the coloring books on the coloring pages.
Do we live in amazing times what?
We live in fantastic times. Oh, now she's gone. But yeah, so if you want to color one, Leo, you can and make your own dragon.
You unlock the app with Fire Breath.
Mm-hmm.
Your special Fire Breath crayon is the key. Open the Color Alive app and tap on unlock. Place your crayon on a flat surface. Scan it with the app to unlock a virtual coloring effect. And then you have to color the page with your Color Alive at color page, and then scan it wherever you color with the Fire Breath. Did you use the Fire Breath?
I did. Yeah, that's the orange. Mm-hmm.
So does the dragon do something with the orange? Oh, those are its little.
I don't understand what that part. I followed those directions, but all I had to do was scan it.
Yeah.
But you can get more coloring.
There's supposed
pages
to be a special effect on the screen where you did it with the Fire Breath.
Mm-hmm. So the coloring pages...
I wish I were a kid again.
You can be a kid again. Look, Iron Man.
I shoot pulsar beams from my hands.
That's the Fire Breath.
I protect the world from bad guys.
It's not quite that compelling.
I am Iron Man.
It's not quite that. The commercial is a little bit...
It's a little overselling.
Now we... Good thing we showed it first.
Crayola Color Alive Marvels Avengers.
I think that's pretty
decent. Pretty good for kids, I think. Especially kids if, like, they love their iPad, but you want to have them, you know, do things with their hands, not forget
You know, the only thing missing from that, a whale on stilts.
So true.
We just make that.
If we could make that coloring.
No, that... You know what? I'm being silly, but that really is cool.
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Wow.
And the coloring pages that you can get and print yourself, they're like $1.99 for 10 pages.
What do you think somebody, you know, from 100 years ago would make of that if he saw that? They would say this magic screen that you have here is somehow, it would be, I mean...
Mm-hmm. What a world. We live in amazing times.
So amazing and yet so trivial and dumb.
Not dumb. <It's>
No, I think that's great. That's a good use of technology. Mm-hmm. Better than putting a mustache on your friend.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you're going on a trip, you get this for your child while you read every magazine available.
And they will get so carsick. It's awesome.
In the plane. And then you are reading magazines.
I'm reading.
You're enjoying every magazine.
So this is the adult version of Fire Breath. Mm-hmm. It's called Texture. And you don't need a magic crayon. You just need a subscription at texture.com/iOS. Texture is Netflix for magazines. I am glad magazines are still around, to be honest. Websites did not really replace them. Still great magazines out there, Wired. In fact, there's probably a dozen magazines that every month I want to read at least one article. Wired, Vanity Fair. There's always one like great piece in Vanity Fair. The New Yorker, maybe once a week. Rolling Stone, there's some really great journalism or gossip or whatever. And I have to admit, I often wanted to keep up on Prince Harry and the royal couple, Kensington Palace. So there's People Magazine and Us and Entertainment Weekly's thrown in there as well. It's really a neat thing. See, if you went out and you bought those dozen magazines on the newsstand, you'd be spending, what are they, like $4 or $5 a magazine now. You'd be spending a lot of money. Or you could subscribe, but then you feel bad about that. Because then you get all these stuff that you don't really get a chance to read. I love National Geographic. Do I want a stack of National Geographics in my basement? Not really. Or on my coffee table. So this is it. All those magazines and a whole lot more for a low rate. That's less than like 3 magazines a month on the newsstand. And you're just going to have access to all of them. We're all binge watching TV now. Now you can binge read magazines. Men's Health and Interview and... I just go on and on. Why don't you go? Here's what you do. Go to texture.com/iOS. You could look at the library. They have 2 different plans, $9.99. And then if you spend a little bit more, you get even more stuff, more magazines. But $9.99 a month, that's nothing. There is a free trial. So that's how I would start. Just go and get the free trial. And you're going to see how cool it is. They have editors who pick top stories, and they have a new and noteworthy section. It is every page in the newsstand edition plus back issues, so everything. And bonus features that wouldn't appear in a print magazine. Oh, yeah, they have a premium and a basic plan. So there you go. You can see the different features, which magazines. So you may not care about Adweek, for instance, you know. So you don't need the premium plan if you don't care about Adweek. I would get the premium plan because I want to read Adweek. Cars and... stereos and technology and popular electronics. And I can go on and on. It's just great. So try it for free. See what's there. I think you're going to love Texture. You know, if you're about to go on a trip and you're the kind of person like I am, they go to the airport bookstore and stock up on 10 magazines before you leave. You don't need to do that anymore. Just bring your iPad and you got a world of entertainment. Try it free. Texture.com/iOS. Macworld's in there too. Did you see that?
All right, so Apple Music, lots of Apple Music news this week. Well, they are going to, at WWDC, they're going to...
Revamp.
It's going to, and not a moment too soon, in my opinion.
I would hope that this would also be their opportunity to redo iTunes.
Yeah.
It's been really overdue for a rewrite, and everybody complains about it. And this story about deleting music really is an iTunes plus Apple Music story. And I think some of it comes from the fact that iTunes is getting so old and creaky. So... Vellum is a blog that a couple of designers keep. One of them, I think it's Jim Pinkstone, wrote an article this week on the blog saying Apple deleted hundreds of gigabytes of my music. And I'm mad as heck. And he's told a long story. He was using Apple Music and iTunes on a Macintosh. He called Apple he says... Talked to a representative at Apple named Amber.
He just said her name was Amber. He doesn't actually ever say it was from Apple. Like, he implies that, but it's weird. It's like
he doesn't say she's from
Amber.
Apple?
Well, you know, it's this Amber said that. See, it's just our...
Amber told him...
It says the software is functioning as
it
intended.
It does this.
Said Amber.
And so there's been a kind of a lashback from CNET, iMore, and others who said this is bogus. Apple doesn't, and Amber can't be real because Apple doesn't do this. So here's what he claimed happened. He's a composer. So he had a lot of his own music on there. He also is a collector of rare music. He had, for instance, a Fountains of Wayne's track that was a demo for a track they later released as a single. It's not clear, and that's part of the problem here, is it sounds like he used iTunes Match to match the music. So I don't think, maybe Apple, does Apple Music also do this? Maybe it does. It's not clear to me, and Apple's not been very clear about the difference between Apple Match, iTunes Match, and Apple Music.
It is very confusing. That is true.
But something, let's say Apple Music, matched all his music. In other words, looked at everything in his library and said, okay, I got a copy of it. And he does say, and if it was stuff that was never on iTunes Store, it would upload a copy of that. He said there's a couple of problems. Sometimes a match doesn't work. So in the case of the Fountains of Wayne song, it matched to the single. It didn't know about the rare version. And this is the thing where there's a real big question mark, and I'd love to talk to James about this. He says, then iTunes deleted my music because I had a copy in the cloud. Now, if that's the case, that's a problem because a copy in the cloud isn't a perfect match. And Jim Dalrymple said something very similar. He's of Loop Insight. Mm-hmm. He said, same thing. I had rare Black Sabbath albums. It screwed them all up, deleted. Jim said 200 gigabytes of my music. And now Jim later kind of said, well, I talked to Apple. Maybe it was my fault. And this is what the Apple press is saying. Oh, James Pinkstone, it's your fault. Now, I would say, first of all, I don't think you should ever blame a user. We don't know. It's completely within the realm of possible that there is a bug. It's not what iTunes is supposed to do. Normally, you do the match, and you have your copy on your hard drive, and now there's a copy in the cloud. And now if you take your iPhone and you go on an airplane, and you can, or you go on a drive, you can download the music from the cloud. Now, admittedly, at that point, it won't match the song that you had in your hard drive, but it's not like it was deleted. It's still on your, or should be, still on your computer. So I think people are disputing this statement that he made, that then Apple deleted all the music. It seems more likely, and I don't want to blame the user, but it seems more likely that he was confused by the alert Apple gives you. Because Apple will say, oh, do you want to delete this song? We've got a copy of it on the server. And it's not it's unclearly written. And so it's conceivable that both Jim Dalrymple and James Pinkstone, the author of this blog post, didn't understand it and inadvertently deleted the originals. Now, the good news is Pinkstone has a copy. He says, I have a backup, so it's not the end of the world. But Apple should not do this. This is bad. Mm-hmm. And I guess what Serenity Caldwell and others are saying is, well, Apple doesn't do that, so we're not sure how that happened. It could be that iTunes has a bug. It would be at worst a bug. Certainly it's not an intentional behavior on Apple's part. And I have the same issue. I have a lot of music that's not in Apple's iTunes library, and I never deleted that. Now, I have recommended in the past one way to get rid of copy protection on your music library and to upgrade your music libraries. You pay $25 for iTunes Match. This is separate from Apple Music. And match all the music you have and then delete it. Now, make a copy and put it somewhere, but delete it. And then say, I want to download everything. And Apple will replace all the songs you have on there with 256 kilobit AAC, high-quality, uncopy-protected versions of those same songs. So it's one way to remove copy protection for stuff you bought from the iTunes Music Store. If you've recorded or ripped MP3s that were 128 kilobits, you can only go down to 96 before it rejects it. But you can always convert a 64-kilobit version to 128. And then have it match it, and you'll get a much better quality version from Apple. The matching may not be perfect. You shouldn't delete music unless you've made a backup copy. All of that's true. Both Jim and James came to the conclusion, that's it on Apple Music. I'm not having Apple touch my stuff anymore. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily fair, but I would make a backup.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other option. Nobody else does that.
Oh, that's not true.
Okay, so who else does it?
Google does it.
And they've never been accused of this?
No.
So is it fair to say that Apple Music is rather confusing to use?
That's the real problem. And I don't think anybody disagrees with the fact that iTunes is old, poorly written, and Apple's become the master of writing confusing dialogue. Photos did delete many of my photos, and I've gotten dialogues that are incomprehensible. from Apple's new Photos app on my Macintosh, I have stopped using Photos because it did, and it wasn't my error, delete Photos. So fortunately, I also have backups on Google and other places, so I'm not out any photos. But I would, historically, Apple's not been very good at cloud services. This is a big business for them going forward. They better get good at it fast. This is a very, you know, big PR black eye for Apple, but I think it's not unreasonable to say, we want to know more about how this happened, and it could have been user error. And the cautionary tale is, make sure you have a backup of photos and music before you put them in the cloud. It would be really wrong if iTunes said, oh, I got a copy of that, I'm going to delete it. I don't think it does that. I've not seen that behavior. But I would hate to say, oh, James, it's your fault. We don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting because, I mean, a lot of people complain about Apple a lot. And, you know, it's like we don't read every time a blogger says Apple did this. And, you know, but it was interesting that that got a lot of traction because it was provable. But then on the other side, it's like, no, that didn't really happen. You know, but it might have. We don't know.
I never want to blame a user. And goodness knows there's plenty of bugs in iTunes. So it's not inconceivable. Not at all. And so, but the moral is not necessarily don't use Apple Music, which is, I think, what James Pinkstone's moral was. Don't ever use Apple Music. And James Dalrymple, Jim Dalrymple, same thing. I don't think that's the moral. I think Apple Music is fine. I will be very interested to see what Apple shows in June.
I will too. I mean, I think also Apple Music is fine if you don't have a lot of.
These are unusual situations, right?
Like if you don't have, if you listen to just mainly stuff that's already there, you don't have your own.
Friend of mine is also a songwriter, composer, Grammy Award-winning artist, and he asked me for a cloud backup solution. I told him about the transporter, and it deleted all his music. So I felt bad about that. sorry, but so it can have cloud services. Remember. This story happened a lot with synchronization. Remember, you doubled my contact. Now I got 15 times or whatever. Cloud services are hard, and they do weird things sometimes and unexpected things. And so it always is a good idea before you use a cloud service or start to rely on a cloud service that you make a physical backup that you keep locally or you keep on a different service. That's what I do. I have it on Google and Amazon and Flickr for my photos. Then if one of them screws up, it's unlikely they'll all screw up. So have a backup. On the other hand, I love cloud services. There's some real advantages to it. I don't know what to say about this. I don't think we know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the new Apple Music. They're supposedly getting rid of the tab that's the social tab.
Or downplaying it.
Yeah.
We don't know. I never used that. These are all rumors.
Yes.
Apple Music needs an overhaul. Apple Music is growing. It's now 13 million users. It will continue to grow because anybody who buys an iPhone or an iPad has Apple Music. It's just kind of automatic. And it's the same price as any other one. In fact, the family plan's a pretty good deal.
And they have a student.
They now have a 50% off for students. So it's a pretty good deal. I could see a lot of people using it. The problem with all these services is they're basically the same. They're kind of commoditized. So if you started with Spotify, you're probably going to stick with Spotify. But I think there's going to be a whole bunch of new people using Apple Music. So Apple should put some effort into this. And really, if you're going to knock Apple, the biggest knock is they just haven't kept up their iTunes up. And it's time. Too many people use it and rely on it for their music player and their music collection. I do.
And services are going to become even more important to Apple also.
It was a big business. I mean, in the last quarter, it was I think, one of their largest businesses. It outpaced their Mac sales. So, yeah, even Apple has said this. Going forward, their future is in cloud services. So they need to get it right.
They do. So, and then some more rumors. iOS 10 is likely to include a standalone HomeKit app designed by Apple. That's what Mac Rumors says. Have you read this yet?
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Yes, I believe when
do
I see
you
it.
Use
they've been No, they've been promising this for ages. Google's been promising it. Microsoft's been promising it. I think home automation turns out to be a very hard thing to do.
It's very hard. I mean, what do you have automated in your house?
I used to have it all. You know, I had smart things, and I had Hues, and I had Wemos, and I had Nest, and then I moved, and I didn't bother hooking it all up again. It wasn't enough value. I could turn on my own lights. It's interesting that your lights go down at, you know, in the morning and go up at night. It's not that the Nest didn't do anything for me. I just as easily program a thermostat. And
what about your Echo? Do you use that to do anything?
Well, I would if I had all that stuff. Yeah. I have, you know, it's embarrassing. I moved 2 years ago. No, it's almost 2.5 now. And I have a box with all the pieces.
Yeah.
The Hue lights. And I have hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. I have every smart things doohickey. I have all that stuff in a box. And, you know, I look at it and I go, yeah, someday I'll hook that all back up.
Yeah, there should be a name for that. It's like, I have that too. Like, I have...
You do?
It's
not just me?
I have a lot of plugs. Yep. I have a lot of plans. I have, like, an Eve. I have all this stuff that, is just sort of sort of around. I just have guilt about it.
It's a box of guilt.
It's Internet of Things guilt.
How many boxes are in a closet that are filled with guilt?
I know. IOTG.
My garage. You can't even get a car in. There's so much guilt in it.
Yeah, let's turn our lights on and off by ourselves.
Guilt, bitterness, regret. That's my life.
Exactly.
No, actually, we're here to tell you. We're letting you off the hook. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, don't feel bad about it.
Everybody.
Smart home slacking.
It hasn't happened.
It hasn't, no. Oh, okay, we're trying to talk about...
Sorry, I didn't mean to exhaust you.
I know, it is.
What about that whale on stilts, though? Because
I need to watch that whale on stilts again. Bring it back.
He's kind of depressed, too.
So what about the iPhone 7? You want to talk about those rumors? What do you think about that?
It seems so early to be doing iPhone rumors, but I guess it isn't, really. Here we are in May. There'll be a new iPhone probably, 4 months? September, right?
Yeah.
Can that be right? 4 months. So, yeah, there's interesting rumors. Dual camera rumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to have lightning, which I'm sad about. But, Apple changed their connector at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
If they had just waited a little longer, they could have replaced the 30-pin connector with a Type-C connector. They use that on the MacBook. And every phone in the next few years is going to move to the Type-C connector. And I wish... But Apple's now made us all buy lightning, and I think we're stuck with lightning. Lightning is very similar to Type-C. It's similar functionality. It's just that I don't want to have multiple kinds of cables lying around. So, yes, it'll be lightning.
Probably the same size.
I think it's pretty credible. Lose the headphone jack.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the dual camera. I don't think they want to get bigger than 5.5 inches for the iPhone Plus. That seems 6 inches is too big. The dual cameras will give you depth information. So we've seen this before. There are other phones that have dual cameras. The idea is one camera is taking an image. The other was getting additional information that would allow you to do things like change focus or maybe be able to do HDR, so get a broader dynamic range in weird lighting conditions and things like that. We don't know. Apple's good at cameras. The other guys have caught up, so this would be a good time for Apple to see if it could come up with something new that would get people to buy iPhones. But I think we may be in an environment where we're at peak smartphone, right? That it's kind of gotten as good as it's going to get, and everything's going to be a minor. Fingerprint was the big thing. 3D touch, is that killing the world?
Yeah, no. I mean, and so many people were willing to go without it for the SE, the iPhone SE.
Well, and that's the problem is if you don't have 3D touch on everything, no developer is going to take advantage of 3D touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of those, it happens all the time, technologies that's good and exciting, and we were excited about it. But after a while, you know what I'd love to see some improvements on is Siri.
Yeah. Oh,
Siri has such potential and should get better.
All right. Well, that brings us to our next news topic. Viv.
Or is it Vive? Is it Viv?
I think it's Viv, like a woman's name. Viv, like Vivian. A
guy named Dag should not name anything.
So Viv is what Siri could have been.
Yeah. So the guys who created Siri, you know, Apple bought Siri. Maybe people don't realize this. Siri was not invented at Apple. It was it was an app. It was actually more capable. When Siri wasn't an Apple product, you could make dinner reservations. You could say, Siri, book me a table for 4 at Central Market. And it could do that because it was integrated with OpenTable. Apple bought it, took out things like that, and they haven't really improved Siri a whole lot in the intervening time. The guys who created Siri probably stuck around long enough to vest their Apple shares and then started their own thing. So this is it, viv.ai. The first demo was today at TechCrunch Disrupt in New York, and there's Dag showing off. We can do a little of the live demo.
What's the weather like at home today? Right?
Siri can do that.
Pretty straightforward. Our friends from Weather Underground get it.
And there's a picture, but no voice.
But let's ratchet it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's, because that's unimpressive.
Was it raining in Seattle three Thursdays ago?
Now that's interesting.
Right, so great, Weather Underground to the rescue again.
And it did show that.
So it has a much stronger understanding when you can.
That's a compound statement.
Developed the natural language aspects of it, and I'm going to take another, even bigger leap to sort of a question that you might not ask, actually, but just to show you a little more of the power.
Something you may never use.
Will it be warmer than 70 degrees near the Golden Gate Bridge after 5 p.m. the day after tomorrow?
Fairly complex, right? It's got to parse that. It's more structured than it sounds. Okay. And they are able to do that. So here's what's going to be interesting about Viv. It is cross-platform. It's not Apple only. Mm-hmm. It most importantly, it's open. So Apple, which has had Siri for 5 years, not only has not improved it, they haven't opened it up. They took out things like Open Table integration, and they haven't opened it up so much to third parties. They did a little bit, but I don't notice a lot of movement in there. Viv promises to be open to any application. So if you install Viv on your iPhone and then install an app that is Viv-aware, suddenly Viv will know whatever that app knows. That's potentially very interesting. It's kind of like the Amazon Echo, which is also an open platform. Anybody can write stuff for the Amazon Echo, and you can add that skill to your Echo. Amazon maintains a directory of skills. I think this would be better than that, because I think the skills would be added just by installing something. But I want to point out, that's Doug Kitlaus, the founder of Siri, who is now demoing it. I want to point out that there are products that do that already, somewhat, including one from the folks at SoundHound. You know SoundHound, right? Mm-hmm. They released something. I participated in an early beta of it, and it is now available for anybody, called Hound. And SoundHound was the program that would allow you to listen to music and it would identify, would fingerprint it. Hound is very similar to what we've just seen with Viv. And that's one of the things that kind of surprised me. So you can say, what is the temperature?
It is 66 degrees in Petaluma.
Hound sounds a little bit like Siri, doesn't it? But how about tomorrow morning in Austin, Texas?
The temperature will be 72 degrees in Austin, Texas, Tuesday, May 10th at 7 a.m.
By the way, I like it that Hound speaks to you like Siri does. It didn't look like Viv is. Mm-hmm. How about 2 months from now?
The usual temperature is a high of 98 degrees and a low of 75 degrees.
Now, that's interesting because it's contextually aware. Right. It remembered your last question. But it also is a little bit more of a compound, a more difficult question to research. Show me coffee shops nearby.
Here are several coffee shops.
And this is accurate.
Yeah, and the Echo can do
Which ones have Wi-Fi and are open after 7 p.m. on Sundays? Can the Echo do that?
Okay, showing 9 coffee shops that are open after 7 p.m. on Sundays that provide free Wi-Fi.
This is free and available right now on your iOS device. How about this? Show me Asian restaurants within 10 miles, excluding Korean and Japanese, sorted by rating.
Here are several Asian restaurants within 10 miles sorted by rating, excluding Korean restaurants, Japanese restaurants, or sushi bars.
What the what? Now, you may say, oh, that was a canned demo.
Yes, that's what I would say.
So give me a query.
What's the weather like?
No, better one. I got a better one. Show me hotels in San Francisco for under $100 a night that allow pets.
Showing 10 results in San Francisco for maximum of $100 per night that are pet friendly.
By the way, I want to note a few things. First of all, that was completely uncanned. I made that up. You saw how fast it did that?
Yes.
Does Siri answer that fast?
No.
Does the Echo answer that fast? Do you see how complex that was?
Yeah, the turning that allow pets to pet friendly. I like that.
This is a very sophisticated solution. And you know what? Nobody knows about it or cares.
Well, because it's not integrated into any devices, like you have to press a button in order to get to it?
I don't know. It's the strangest thing. This is amazing. I've shown it a few times, and it's like,
It's not owned by Google?
No, SoundHound.
Just independent.
How many burglaries were reported in Petaluma in the past month? I don't think it's going to know that. But by the way, excellent recognition.
Showing search results for how many burglaries are reported in Petaluma in the past month.
There you go.
Well, yeah, that's like, here's what I found on the web. The thing about Viv that they showed off was like the pizza, you know, like ordering a pizza. It's like, I'm going
That's the integration. Yeah. So that would be you put the Domino's app on there and suddenly Viv knows how to buy pizza from Domino's.
Yeah, or from anywhere. Because like I can get, that's the problem with the Echo, right? Like if I want
to
order like, oh, you know, it has to be Domino's. But what they were saying
Viv
was like, order
anywhere.
Me a
that's,
pizza
that's
nearby
BS.
With...
How is it doing that?
How's it doing what?
How's it ordering a
That's a good question.
How am I going to get a pizza from the New Yorker? They don't have an interface to the iPhone.
Right, but that's what their vision
is. Are they saying some human is at back at Viv headquarters is going to make the call? No. What they're saying, the vision is, it's an open platform. So you won't be just Domino's. It's whatever pizza mm-hmm. app you want to install that will have the Viv integration. So this relies on third parties to support it. Mm-hmm. And so don't be fooled by that. You can't just give it arbitrary commands. And it's the same thing for Hound. In every case, all of these things have to have hooks into these services. I did the hotel thing because I knew it had hooks into, I think it's Hotels Tonight. So one of the mm-hmm. booking services. Right. You have to have those hooks.
Yeah, like on the bots.
Yeah. Thing. Otherwise, that information is not there. Now, I imagine a rich ecosystem is going to emerge. The question is, if I'm a pizza store, am I going to make sure that I have Hound and Siri and Viv and Google Now and Echo integration into my app? Maybe not. So the big players are going to be the ones like Siri mm-hmm. and Google Now and Cortana and Echo because those are on big platforms.
Right.
And I worry about Viv and Hound, even if it's better technology, which it is. Let's see. You got some more of Dag? He really likes the weather stuff. So you know why? Because the Weather Underground has built hooks in for
right.
him.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing with all of these services. I mean, this is how capitalism works. Like, they have to, you know, it's like you can't just say, oh, we have this thing that we've developed and anyone can use it and, you know, no one has to pay for any of it.
Yeah. It's capitalism. It's also, though, that you have to build an ecosystem. And there's great technology for voice recognition. You saw how fast and accurate mm-hmm. Hound is. It's yeah. amazing. Just like that, but it isn't going to do anything for me that I want to do unless there's an ecosystem of capabilities around it. I think being open is really important. That's why I have hopes for Viv and for Amazon's Echo because
flowers for her birthday.
Yeah, we've all seen the flowers for her birthday.
Right. Pro Flowers come up with some beautiful.
Yeah, Pro Flowers, another company that really they integrate now with Facebook. They want to integrate with all this.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Facebook would be another great place to put this.
Right.
Because people are typing this in Facebook Messenger, but really the best way to do it is to talk to Facebook Messenger. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to start to
use
Hound.
Do you use Siri?
I don't use
See, this is the
Siri
problem.
Really at all. Sometimes to play music, sometimes to read my email while I'm driving. I think I use the Echo much more often. Like,
right.
And I've trained myself and the Echo to do the things I want to do.
That's the other side of it is you have to train yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I like the idea of talking to my house. I think that's a very natural thing. And there's no button. You don't have to pull your phone out.
Yes.
So that's why I think Echo has a mm-hmm. Anyway, Hound is available on Android and iOS, yeah.
And you know what you can do with Siri or with your Echo?
What can
Play
you do?
Play your audiobooks.
I'm thinking I need a clipboard right about now. Oh, Audible time.
Yes.
That, by the way. That is a great integration,
yes,
isn't it?
It is. I like to, because it knows where you are, and you can play wherever you are.
Audible
if you're in the shower, you can shout, play my audio.
I do. Audible is in the Amazon family, as with the Echo. So one of the Echo commands that's built into the Echo is, and it's very simple. I could say, Echo, read my book.
Mm-hmm.
And it knows. In fact, you can have multiple accounts in your Echo. So Lisa comes in, and she says, Echo, switch accounts, read my book, and it'll read her book. And you don't have to tell it what book. It'll just pick up what you have been reading, but you can also say, as because I have a big Audible library, mm-hmm. as I'm sure all of you do, you can also say, "Oh, I want to listen to Hamilton, so read my Hamilton biography, and we'll read that." So
right.
it's really
because I do that because
cool.
my kids have audiobooks.
Yeah,
I have
so there's multiple
so
books.
I can tell them. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Audible is a library of, I think it's probably more than 200,000 books now. Every new book that comes out, every bestseller, every book you see in the bookstore is on Audible. Everybody's realized that this is a great way to read. And I know people get mad at me when I say read, but listen. But you are getting the same words that you would if you were reading the, we listen to The Girl on the Train. Frankly, That is more gripping and more chilling and more thrilling when you listen to it than it is if you would read it. Because notice they have different voices for each of the three characters that are in the book. So you in your mind, if you're reading the paper, will give that person a different character. But you hear it. That person is real. It's great. By the way, these are not readers. I'm going to read to you a book. These are great actors. Audible's based in New York, so they get the best actors from Broadway to come in and read these books, and they come to life for you. If you've never listened to an Audible book, this is it. Now is the time. We're going to get you one for free. The only hard thing is picking a book. There's nonfiction like Smarter, Better, Faster. There's fiction like Girl on the Train. Look, Marcia Clark has written a biography or autobiography, her story of her prosecution of O.J. Simpson. You can read that. Or is it a novel? It looks like it's a novel. Oh, how funny. I think she does have a memoir as well. But I think that's a novel. Samantha Berkman, an ambitious, hard-charging Los Angeles criminal defense attorney. Probably not my cup of tea, but here's the beauty part. You go to audible.com. You could play the audio sample. You can listen a little bit of the book. You can hear the reader. You could say, is this going to be...
No real news yet, so Sherry's just doing personal stuff with some of Chloe's friends. I raised an eyebrow. Since when did they need real news to justify the slugfest? Barry gave me a knowing smile behind the assistant's
back. That's Tavis Gilbert. She's a really good narrator. These narrators come to life. They bring it to life.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I Am Special in the chat room says, won't Audible hinder kids' reading skills?
We know that's not true.
No, we know that's not true. My kids have been listening to audiobooks like they listened to The Martian way ahead. I have this graph where, like, because my kids were slow readers. They were. And one of my kids went from a fifth grade level to an eighth grade level in just, a couple months. And I really think it's from listening to all those stories.
I guarantee you
it is. Because it's not about reading the words. It's about consuming the story.
And getting to love reading.
It. Yes.
And getting to love books and getting to love reading. If you can just do that, you're done. And I have to say that there's a lot of scientific studies, proofs, evidence that kids, if they listen and read along, they learn to read faster. Audible is a really good thing. And the nice thing is they have lots of kids' books, lots of young adult books. And by the way, if you're planning a family road trip this summer, there are great books for all of you. We did a road trip when the kids were young to the Grand Tetons. And we listened to... Holes. We listened to Upside Down of Being Brown, The Downside of Being Brown. What was it? It was really great. And you're all listening together. It is a wonderful experience, a great way to spend time in the car, doing your chores. I exercise a lot, and it's I hate exercise. It's boring. But when you've got an Audible book, it whizzes by. Look, there's a new Star Wars Bloodline. Some of the best Star Wars books. They're all on there, by the way. All of them. So pick one, and you're going to get it free if you go to audible.com/iOS today. What you're signing up for is the Gold Plan. That's a subscription plan that gives you a book a month. And by the way, also gives you the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. But you'll pay nothing for the first 30 days. So you get the book, you get the digest, and you can keep those. You can cancel any time in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. But the books are yours to keep forever. Audible, I just love this. Audible.com/iOS today. Please, do yourself a favor.
All right, so now we have a few emails. Here is one that I just thought was super cute. Jack from Denver writes about these, how to turn your iPhone into a mini lamp, this site from Design Milk.
And it's kind of an expensive lamp.
Well, it's a tiny lamp. I think, does that... See that little? It's 3D printed. We have the 3D printer here.
It clips on.
Yes, on the flashlight.
That's the silliest thing.
Isn't that so cute?
How funny. It is cute.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
I kind of like that.
I want to 3D print something.
And I guess because it's a diffuser, you could read with it.
Sure, if you're tiny. I just thought it was so cute. Thank you, Jack, for sending that. Gene Rauschenbach from Moline, Indiana writes... Besides the price difference, what is the difference between Keeper and LastPass? Do you use Keeper?
Yeah. I mean, I've used them all. So, Keeper. Actually, I'm not sure about Keeper. KeePass?
Keeper.
I don't know. So, I'll tell you, I'm off the top of my head. I don't remember Keeper. So, let me look and see if I can. I'll tell you why I like LastPass. Well, first of all, I've been. Oh, yeah, Keeper. I think I do have an account on Keeper. I paid for it. So this is a safe, secure vault. We talked about this on our show. I gave you my solutions. First of all, any password vault is better than no password vault. But there are potential problems with a password vault. So the idea is if you have to remember, as we all do, multiple passwords, many different websites, banking accounts, everything, we all need passwords. Problem number one is people tend to use the same password or a variant of the same password over and over again. That's not secure. If somebody gets one password, they get them all. That's not good. So stop it. You should have a unique password for every account, a unique password. And then the other problem is people make guessable passwords. I was logging into an account of somebody I know closely who was using their birth date for their account password.
You changed it, presumably.
Yes. So don't do that. But the problem is, I understand you got to remember it. So a password vault solves that. It lets you create good, random, long, totally unmemorable passwords, but it remembers them. And you only have to remember one password, the vault's password. So a password vault is a must. If you don't have one, you should get one. And there are lots of good choices. LastPass and 1Password are my two favorites. I use LastPass. There is a potential problem with the password vault, which is that you're keeping your passwords in one location. That is a single point of failure. If a bad guy were to get your vault and unencrypt it, now it's worse than having one password for every site. They have every password. They know what sites you use, what your login is, what your password is. That's really bad. So you have to make sure that whatever vault you use does everything possible to protect your password repository. You don't want that to be vulnerable. 1Password does probably the best thing, which is they don't store it. So they don't have access to it. In all cases, these vaults are encrypted, so somebody would have to guess your unlock the vault password. Nevertheless, if somebody can download your vault, they can at their leisure try many guesses and eventually brute force it. So you don't want them to have access to your vault. LastPass does keep the vault on their servers. So that is a negative, absolutely a negative. 1Password does not. I don't know what Keeper does. The other thing that I think is important is cross-platform. Now, that's more important for me than it might be for somebody else. But do you use a phone? Do you use a tablet? Do you use a computer? I want something that works on all the things I use. And I'm worse than anybody because I use every operating system, every phone, everything. And so a password vault for me has to work everywhere. And that's why I use LastPass. I trust them to protect my stuff. And because it's on their servers, I don't have the issue of, well, how do I get my vault onto this new device? I just log on to LastPass, and it downloads from their servers. With 1Password, you have to either use Dropbox or some other solution, or you have to do this manual syncing. So that's a hassle. However, it is a better way to do it, I think. 1Password had other issues. We've talked about they used a format that wasn't maybe the most secure. I don't know Keeper. I'm just looking at the Keeper. If it does have an Apple Watch app, which is nice. It does autofill, which is really nice, where you automatically fills in your passwords. Encrypted vault. The question is where the encrypted vault is. Two-step, which is good. You should always use two-step or second factor. Zero knowledge, yeah, that's good. It looks like they probably do store it on their site. And a lot of them do because it's convenient. There is an advantage to it. And then it comes down to, are they doing the right thing to protect your password vault? I think this looks good. No reason not to use it. Let me tell you, it's a lot safer than not using a password vault. Just make sure you have a good, strong password to unlock the vault.
Yeah, that's the key if you don't have that.
And use two-factor. That'll actually help, because even if they could get the vault and they brute force it, they still don't have your phone to use the token, and so that's a good additional security.
Okay. David Grant from Tucson writes, I'm working with some autistic high school students, and I wish to use an Apple Watch and an iPad Touch or an iPad. We don't need them to make phone calls. We want to teach them to create reminders and calendar events by voice using the watch. Apple tells me that the phone app only works with the phone, but they can't or won't say what the missing ingredient is between iOS phone and iPad is. Is there a workaround for this to enable pairing? What I think he wants to pair the watch to an iPad.
You cannot talk to the iPad from the watch, period.
But why? You,
because Apple, in their infinite wisdom, doesn't think you're going to carry an iPad with you. I don't know. You could talk to the iPad. You could tell Siri to make an appointment for you, as you can on the phone. So that skill can be taught not just with the watch, but with those devices. You can also sync the calendars using iCloud or some other technique. You can make sure that the calendars stay in sync. I use Google Calendar, and that keeps the calendars up to date on all those platforms. But if you want what you're saying, and I gather that what you're saying is, how can I have my Apple Watch control my iPad? You can't.
Right. So, and I think what he wants to say is to add a calendar or a reminder to the iPad.
No, it'll add it to the iPhone.
Yes.
And then the iPhone can synchronize with the iPad.
Right, so you need
You cannot talk to the iPad from the watch.
Right. And I think the idea...
I don't know why Apple decided not to.
Why? I think the idea is that, yeah, they don't have a bunch of iPhones sitting around that they can...
The touch will work. You can talk to the touch.
You can pair an iPod Touch with an iPhone?
Can't you? You can put the Apple Watch app. Can you put the Apple Watch app on an
iPod
Touch? I thought you could. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
That's a good question.
Okay. Well, I know it works with the iPhone. That's how we use it. Look, I think Apple's attitude is if you could afford an Apple Watch, you could afford an iPhone. Or something like that.
I don't know what the idea is. But, yeah, I mean, maybe you could get some donated iPhones, like when people upgrade.
It's really, you know, yeah. I think I'm not actually it's being facetious, but I don't think I'm far off. I think the idea is, wait a minute, an Apple Watch, that's such a luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
We really consider that an accessory for your iPhone. And for goodness sakes, why would you try to use it with anything
else? But it's half the price of an iPhone.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. $350.
I guess.
Cheapest.
Yeah, maybe David is thinking that he's going to get some watches when people
What does it say there?
The
it says, requires iPhone S or later, period. Does
five,
not work on an iPod
iPhone
Touch.
iPhone 5 or later. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I get that maybe they're worried about losing the phone, like if it's strapped to your arm. Like, I mean, when we talk about giving an iPhone, like an Apple Watch to kids, you know that they're, you know, strapped to them, they're not going to leave
you
it
You know,
anywhere.
I've learned in my many years of doing this show and other shows not to question the ways of Apple, but just to accept our overlords.
That's not what you believe.
That's how they do it. I mean, well, okay. I mean, I guess why this triggers something in me is you choose the... I've been triggered.
Okay.
You choose the Apple ecosystem. One of the things you're choosing is to do it Apple's way.
Mm-hmm.
So people often say, well, I'd want to do it some other way. Well, you chose the wrong ecosystem. Go get an Android phone, an Android watch. Go get something else because Apple doesn't do it that way. And when you... So there's advantages and disadvantages. Apple has a reason for why they do things the way they do it. But it's foolish to buy an Apple device and expect it to operate in any way other than the way Apple wants it to.
Mm-hmm.
Apple knows best. It's one of the things that bothers me about Apple.
Right.
But it's like saying, you know, why is it raining? Can you stop it from raining? I don't like the rain.
That's an interesting... I mean, because this is very different than what we used to do, you know, a decade and a half ago. Like,
no,
let's figure out... Because that was not Apple.
I'm big on open platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Big. I think there's a strong argument. The problem with open platforms is they require more of the user.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more difficult and tricky and finicky and potentially less secure. So Apple has decided... They used to be an open platform company. They're not anymore. And it's better for the user, and you should just accept it.
Right. I mean, the idea behind the Apple Watch is not to stop selling iPhones, too. If they made an Apple Watch that where you didn't need an iPhone,
right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? Like,
right.
That's why.
It could very well be the reason. I'm not going to second guess Apple, but it could very well be the reason.
I think so, too.
Wouldn't be surprised.
But, yeah, I don't know. If you have a solution for David, email me at megan@twit.tv. Because I think really what David just wants to do is to teach these students how to add reminders and calendar events with using their voice to something.
Well, but he can do that with Siri.
Right. On an iPad.
On any of the devices.
Right. Just do it on an iPad instead of having to
do it. So I'm not sure why the watch component.
Let me know, David.
But if you choose to use an Apple Watch, then you choose its limitations as well.
But it is interesting also what the watch can do without the phone as long as you're on the same... As long as you've
Very
already
Very little.
Well, you know, more than you would think. As long as you've already paired it.
You have to pair it and copy music over and whatever.
Network, there's a lot of things that you can do.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Well, no, I'm just saying it is interesting on a separate.
You have your phone because you're on the same Wi-Fi network.
Right.
As soon as you run out the door, there's considerably less you can do with that watch.
Right, but there are things that you can do if you're on the third floor of your mansion versus the basement.
And in fact, even if you're not home, if your phone's at home on the Wi-Fi and you're here on this Wi-Fi,
right.
There are things the watch can communicate with the phone. You can't watch apps that way.
But that's separate. You actually have to have a...
By the way, big change coming. June 1st, Apple has said all apps on the watch must be standalone apps now. They don't have to... Remember, now, this is, by the way, one of the things I hate about the Apple Watch is most of the time, even though the Apple says now you can put your app on the watch, most of the time it's still launching the app and it spins and spins on the phone and getting the data from the phone and talking. It takes forever. Apple says, no, coming June 1st, every Apple Watch app has to live on the watch. It can't live on the phone.
Really?
I mean, it can pair it to the phone. But
it has to, yeah.
It has to be a native watch app.
Like my Facebook app.
Yeah.
Which you have to download onto there.
Tiny Facebook. Well, you still need a phone app, but it doesn't... You know, the thing that spins is it gets resources from the phone. Apple says, we don't want people waiting for that. It should be on the watch.
That's the spinning flower of death.
The spinning flower of death.
Yeah, I've been complaining about that for a while. Okay, one more question. Guy from Cocoa, Florida. His name's Guy, not a guy. He says, I remember Leo reviewing a few apps that facilitate the logging of journals before his river cruise trip.
Yes.
My wife and I are preparing to launch into various RV retirement trips across America, and I thought that we could get an app that would transcribe voice notes in a continuous string. Siri is not much help. She creates a separate notebook for every phase. Remember, was it day one that you used?
Yeah, I ended up with a mishmash. I didn't find the perfect thing. So my plan was to kind of make a record of our travels that had pictures and maps and audio and video and just kind of like a blog. But I never found the perfect app to do that. In fact, a number of the apps I found were discontinued or had stopped working. It seems like a category people think should exist, but nobody's really been able to crack it. So day one is a journaling app we've talked about before that will handle all those media types. And it's very nice. I think it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it will upload to iCloud. So that's another thing I would like, is something that will back itself up, so I don't have to, if I lose the phone, I don't lose my journal of memories. It doesn't have a publish to the web feature, which would have been nice. It's considered private more.
What about Google Keep? Could you use that?
Yeah, you could. Again, no publish to the web, but that's a kind of you could do that. Now you can store a lot of that information. Mm-hmm. I like Keep. It's a note-taking app. So Evernote would be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft's OneNote. For publishing, I think Sway is a good choice. That's the Microsoft app that lets you do... that had just come out, and I was really close with Sway, and I think Sway is probably something to look at. It's free, and it will allow you to actually make it public so people can follow your trips. There's some really nice Sway albums I've seen online. What else? What was that? Was it Storyful? What was that app that I used to... create little storybooks. I have it on here, I'm sure. No, I don't.
Storyful.
Story time? Story. I don't remember now.
Story McStoryface?
Story McStoryface. You know, they didn't name the boat Boaty McBoatface?
I know. They didn't. It's wrong. Sad.
Just wrong.
It is wrong. All right. Well.
You have a vote. Even if the vote doesn't go as you want, you gotta give it to the people.
No, I know. It's true.
I might eat my words in November.
Yes. Let's talk about CuriosityStream
before we put
on our hats.
It's great.
Yes.
Again, why aren't you already a member of CuriosityStream? So CuriosityStream is a document. It's like Netflix for documentaries. It's all ad-free documentary content. It was created by John Hendricks. You know him. Maybe you don't. He was the guy who created Discovery Channel, Communications. 1,400 titles, 600 hours of content, the largest 4K library on the Internet, or at least one of them, 50 hours of 4K content. They just launched that. It's growing all the time. It's available in 196 countries worldwide. That means there's only 12 countries in the whole world, North Korea being one, that you can't get this. It's everywhere. I'm pretty sure that if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, you can get this wonderful channel, this Curiosity Stream. Documentaries, science, history. I love this stuff. Love watching it. There are monthly plans and annual plans. And very affordable. Starts at $2.99 a month. $2.99 a month. That's less than one rental on one of the other platforms. But we got a great deal. Go to curiositystream.com/twit. Curiosity Stream. Remember that. Like you're curious, and there's a stream of wonderful stuff going by you, and you watch it by dipping into the Curiosity Stream. Go to curiositystream.com/twit. When you use the offer code TWIT, you'll get 2 months free. 2 months! What?
That's a lot of curiosity.
That's like you could watch most of the library. No, that's not true, but they've got 600 hours. Actually, you could, but you wouldn't be able to go to work. curiositystream.com/twit. You might not want to go to work once you start watching. It's really engaging and really fun, and this is a great deal. 2 months free. Make sure you use the offer code TWIT. You might ask, why are we wearing these hats? Because we're hipsters, and we are on our way to Las Vegas, Nevada.
We are?
Yes.
Good. Awesome.
I always wished I could wear a hat like this.
You can. It matches your shirt and everything.
It's lavender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sinatra when I wear this.
Yeah. We do look pretty good in these lids.
You look great in that lid.
I mean, sometimes I prefer to wear the leek hat or the beard. That was last week.
Can't do that every week, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. We wear caps. App cap time.
Why do we do this?
Favorite app of the week.
To kind of celebrate.
To celebrate, yes.
To you know, mm-hmm. to crown them the victors in the weekly battle for top
for your
dog.
Attention. Okay, so I'm going to try to show this app on the Apple TV.
Oh.
It is. But I'm not that good with the Apple TV remote. This is called Back to Bed. So
this kind of looks like Monument Valley.
It is a very Monument Valley.
But okay, with so more stuff.
My goal is to lay this apple down so that, doesn't fall.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Is that you?
That guy? That guy's sleepwalking.
Are you the cat?
And I need to...
Oh, he's...
I'm
if
cat.
You don't save him...
Yeah.
So put the apple down in front of him, quick.
Okay.
Oh, you nitwit.
No, no. Here, you do it.
What kind of cat are you?
Okay. So you press the play button to pick up the apple.
Okay.
So once you get... It's hard to get to the apple.
It is. It's...
It's easier on the iPad, I have to say.
What am I doing?
I know.
How do I... Quick, get the apple.
Get the apple.
Oh,
by pressing the play button.
What did I do? Siri, help me.
Siri can't help me.
This is called Back to Bed. All right, I'm going to... Oh,
you started over.
Thank God.
Okay, so let's go through the tutorial.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Touch the pad.
See, it's hard to move, so this would be a lot easier on the...
So here, we can also play it on the... I think that I play this on my Apple TV at home, and it's much easier. I think there would be got a
see what I'm doing?
Remote.
I've got it now.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah,
okay.
I was doing swipes. You want to do continuous movement.
Yeah. Continuous movement.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And you don't want to press the Siri button, whatever you do.
No.
Okay, that's a problem, too, because that's right above the button. Oh, God damn it. Do it on your...
Okay. Let's try this. Bob is a narcoleptic. Bob.
No, he's a sleepwalker. That's not a narcoleptic. Is it?
Well, that's just what this said. He was a narcoleptic.
That's somebody who falls asleep while you're talking to him.
Right. Well, he was just walking along and he fell asleep. And he's a sleepwalker. You can be both, I think.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Onwards
towards
a dream.
They're not mutually exclusive behaviors.
See? He's a narcoleptic. I didn't say it. The sign said it. Now, I don't know why it's going through the tutorial for me, too. You practice while I play this.
I'm getting good at it.
Skip.
Watch this. Bob. Bobby, baby, Bobby. Stop pushing the Siri button. Oh, God, every time you do it.
Apple TV games need a little bit of work.
You know, I should bring my Steel Series in. In fact, I will.
Oh, you.
Because if you have the gaming pad, it's much easier. Yeah.
Okay, and on the iPad also easier. Yeah. Tap to place object. Okay, we got it.
To peak stealth off.
Brief lost near fast. Yeah, why that?
Stop.
They're not watching you. They're watching me.
Oh.
Stop watching.
I'm getting good. Oh.
All right. Watch. See, I'm going to put the apple down.
Okay, put the apple down.
Right, and it's okay if you're there.
But you want him to steer him toward the tie.
Oh, I want to steer him toward the tie?
I think you're steering him toward the tie. Now, yeah, good job. Now all you've right. got it. Now he's going to walk right.
It's okay for him to do that.
Yeah, that's what he wants to go across the tie,
goodness.
Into the door.
What is with you? You are, you like, between this and the whale on stilts.
I know.
You are demented. Okay, I saved Bob.
You
because
did.
I took him to Dreamland.
Right, and so it gets harder. It's like puzzles. Where do you place the apple in order to get him?
Yeah, and you have to kind of, there's some nimbleness involved as well because, And don't press the Siri button.
Right. Dream on for the Apple TV or the iPad or your phone.
Oh, I have to press it. Okay, back to bed.
The
so now we're
button.
In a new world.
Yes.
Oh.
It's very surreal.
Cow.
It is
so
actually.
First I have to go get the apple.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the apple.
Just turn clockwise.
Why is he talking like the devil?
It's all, it's Magritte. It's like a Magritte painting.
It
Everything's
is like
a Magritte
painting.
The flying hat, the apple.
Oh, you stupid doggy. Put the apple.
So you want to steer him, yeah.
Oh, drop
there,
it.
Drop it. Like it's hot. Oh, no. There he goes.
There goes Bob.
It's fun, right? Once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like it. I think with a joystick, a controller,
it'd be
very.
Series.
Yeah.
Nimbus
I'll bring mine in.
Three. Okay.
I'll bring mine in.
Okay. What do you got?
Oh. Me? Oh, me? Well, I want you to be woken up by the biggest man in show business.
This is a theme.
This is
for
Bob.
Bob needs to be woken up.
This is Bob's new alarm clock. It's from Dwayne Johnson. You know who he is?
Yeah.
The Rock. Mm-hmm. He is, he's a former professional wrestler, now movie star. You saw him in The Mummy. He's got a new show on HBO called Ballers, right? He's very buff. So The Rock doesn't think that you should stay in bed. He doesn't believe in sleeping. Oversleeping. He believes in getting up, and this is his new alarm clock. You could pick a project, set a goal, okay? So let's set a goal. I'm going to set a goal. What's my goal? My goal is write a novel, okay? I'm done, okay? Next, I've picked a project, and I'm going to crush this project. I'm going to have this novel written in 2 days. No. It's no end
got
date.
This.
Okay, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, he's talking to me, by the way. Did you hear him say, you got this?
I did.
Now, wake my up at, and then let's wake up at 3:39 in the morning to, no, I shouldn't get up that early, to get up. And then you get to choose the alarms. Now, it's The Rock, so it's not going to be good morning, sunshine. It's going to be
good morning, sunshine.
The Rock.
Yeah, that's what The Rock just said.
Singing to you.
Love it.
Silverback Gorilla. It does have a
beep, beep,
classic
beep,
alarm.
Beep, 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 beep. I can do this all morning.
By the way, The
beep,
Rock
beep,
does not
beep.
Believe in snoozing. There is no
there's
snooze.
There's no snooze button?
You get up or The Rock's going to bug you. Hey, it's Beach Jam It. By the way, new alarms every day.
New alarms
so
every day.
So you never
day.
Get bored. This is called Banff. A lot of alarms.
Shredded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love this.
Big thunder. I would wake up to this. I think this is so good. That's apparently a dog.
Oh, it's
doing his beatboxing. He's a beatbox dog. Now, we all know The Rock lifts, so he lives in an iron paradise.
It's all you. You got this.
Let's ring, ring.
It's all you. You got this.
I would like to be woken up.
I want to be woken
I
up that way.
I want someone to just tell ring. Me that right now.
Here's one that'll wake you up.
Ring, ring.
Gets louder.
Ring, ring.
He's getting insistent. You don't want to mess with The
ring,
Rock.
Ring, ring.
I'm going to start using this when iOS 10
can you
is
smell what The
start.
Rock is cooking?
I can totally smell what he's cooking. I'm going
to
start using this.
How about
when
Rockapella?
Jabroni.
I don't know what a lot of that means.
Chainsaws! Fire in the hole.
I do not want to be woken up by that.
Battle cat? I'm telling you, tons of fun.
I feel like The Rock really saved this show.
Yeah. The Rock, baby. For your alarm to work, keep the app open, turn up your volume, leave your phone on. Got it? Got it. There's The Rock, and here's your Rock Time. Isn't this great? It'll say get up and write your great American novel, mm-hmm. right? It knows what you're up to. So I love it. And it gives you notifications, and it's The Rock, baby. There's nothing like it. See, today's message. Want to hear a message from The Rock?
Yes.
For this day.
All right. Good morning, Rock Clock Project Rock. Good morning. Very early morning here in the Iron Paradise, where it all begins and where it all ends. The House of Steel, the House of Iron, where we bless the steel, where we are blessed by the iron. We are in the business.
I don't know
of
what this guy. But I want some.
Business is good. I could come up with many other nicknames for this place, but I don't want to waste your time. Good morning. Get after your goals. Chase your greatness. It's that
you don't
time.
Get a body like The Rock.
Extra large cup of unleaded. And I don't know why the chose this ugly green neon color. But don't judge me. Goals ain't getting after themselves.
Yeah.
Greatness ain't chasing itself.
It ain't chasing. Yeah, you got to chase it.
This greatness isn't going to
change
itself.
Okay, so there might be a little profanity.
There might be.
That's The Rock.
I love his. I'm going to get it. Also, I think we should make an alarm clock.
What would we do?
All the things that we do.
We do all the things we do so yeah. well.
Right.
Man, I mean, I think, here, let's see. A little battle cat. It's Leo. It's Megan. It's time to get up. You gotta say hello to your cup of coffee.
Right, or your whales on stilts. You didn't like that part.
You're bringing me down.
All right, you know, I think we've done enough damage for the day. I feel like I have.
Have we damaged you, yeah. your children, and your children's children?
Yeah, so email me your suggestions, your confusions, yeah. your questions.
I think our clock would be all snooze alarm.
Yeah, it would be, probably.
You don't have, that's the selling point. You don't have to hit the snooze button.
That's true.
Yeah, it just does it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just use this podcast to fall asleep.
Thanks for joining us. Yes. We'll see you next time on
Iowa Today.
Yay!